Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. Kirk, how about that intro? We just come straight in with this music for you, Kirk.
I like that, man. I like
that. What were you expecting?
I appreciate it, man. I think tonight I'll be over in Staten Island, man, with my hat turned.
Staten Island tonight. What's going on, Kirk? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. About yourself, Alan? What's going on,
All is good. All is good. So let's start with this, and I appreciate you joining the show. Kirk will hang around for the next half hour or so. Kirk, can you give us just where are we with the NFL, with football? I know Hard Knocks, I think, if I'm correct, starts this Tuesday. What's going on in the NFL? They're starting to give tours of SoFi Stadium. I saw Jim Hill was there. We had, I think, our broadcast team at SoFi as well. What can you tell us about the NFL and what's going on with that?
Well, I think the big thing is that football is kind of ongoing. I mean, it's ready. It's going to happen. I don't see anything right now that's kind of deterring it. You've got all the players that had a chance to opt in or opt out. That was the deadline was Thursday. And so I believe you only had 67 players, right, total. And we're talking about 32 teams at 80-man rosters, and only 67 decided to opt out. I think the NFL has done a lot with their protocols. We haven't seen anyone in the NFL right now. Think about it. No one's complaining. The protocols that are in place are very strategic. I even saw, you know, Bill Belichick talking about it today in terms of, it's a lot, but this is what we got to do in order to play football. But right now, I'm not saying it's as safe as the bubble in Orlando, but right now it's about as safe as can be. And I think players are right now focusing on upcoming. Right now, they're still in the acclimation period. So, Alan, in like next week is when they'll really start to ramp it up a little bit. They'll start doing some more drills, individual drills, as they get ready to put the pads on in a couple weeks.
Can you give us, Kirk, so what are the dates? When you say they put the pads on in a couple of weeks, what date is that? And is that kind of, you know how it was for Major League Baseball, they started spring training again and everybody's just, there's this curiosity of, is anything going to happen now? And you just slowly kind of worked your way forward to eventually starting the season. And then this is where baseball's sitting now. And by no means has it gone perfect. But what are some of the key dates that we should be looking at?
I think key dates right now, I think for the Rams would probably be the 22nd and 29th. I'm looking at when teams usually will be playing the third or fourth preseason game. And I think that was usually about the time that, you know, teams are already getting ready for the season. So I think those are the, to me, that things will be sort of getting fine-tuned. I think the first 2 weeks, I think the first 2 weeks of the has been what they call just strength and conditioning, right?
Yep.
So it's kind of lifting weights, running around a little bit, doing some instruction, not too much. And then the next phase, too, is individual drills, where you really start to ramp it up. And then the third phase, which I talked about, which should start in about 2 weeks. I'm thinking it's a little bit different per team, each team, but I'm thinking right now about August 17th, maybe August 18th, that's when you're really going to get the 11-on-11 instruction. And now we're talking about, you know, full padded practices and things like that, which they're actually inviting the media out. Right now, media is not allowed around at the facility just yet. But once they actually start practicing, that's when you know. So you just give it about a couple weeks, and we'll really start to see more reports, more videos circulating. But right now, it's just everything is off the every team's website so far.
So, Kirk, you felt confident since you and I, you know, been doing some of these shows together. You felt confident for a while on the NFL. Where you didn't have confidence is with college football. Anything change on that front? You still feel the same way?
A little bit. I think with them regionalizing college football, not a lot of travel. They're going to try to do sort of a baseball model. And I know people are going to say, but baseball has sort of been failing. Well, I can say this. I think with football, a lot of guys have either tested positive or NCAA, they've tested positive or they've kind of quarantined the entire team. It's going to be tough. I'm not going to lie about that. I think they've got it tougher than the NFL. I'm still very optimistic because they're going to these 10-game schedules. I think the ACC, I believe, is going to go to an 11-game, or is it Big 12? I forget. But basically, everybody's going to do a conference schedule, maybe throw in one non-conference game, depending on what conference it is. But everybody's delaying their start. No one's really going to start in August. Everybody's going to start either mid to late September, which gives, I think, you know, colleges and teams, it gives them enough time right now, Alan, to get the virus under control. Mm. I was listening to an interview that Dr. Alan Seals, he's the chief medical officer for the NFL, and what he talked about I thought just made perfect sense. There's no way of getting out of the way of COVID-19, but what we can do is kind of move around it. All right, it's always going to be in the air, but how do you move around it? And how do we move around in everyday life, Alan? And I think you've adjusted well, I've adjusted well, and I think now sports have to adjust. I don't think you just shut it down. We just got to do some things a little bit more that we probably would have in years past.
Well, Kirk, I mean, I think I remember a lot of conversations we were having was at some point you're going to have to try it, right? Like at some point you're going to have to figure out, because that's the only way you're going to learn. I mean, if you're doing the same thing over and over again, you give yourself no opportunity to learn. NBA had a strategy. They put it together. And even though we're 3 weeks, a month in, and it's gone perfect, you never know. I mean, something can happen. You know, obviously tomorrow that could change the whole structure of the league. Major League Baseball, I was mentioning this, Kirk, how crazy is this? With baseball, you have certain teams out there. Let me look at the exact teams. Miami's only played 7 games so far. St. Louis has played 5 games. Phillies have played 7. But they don't have a choice. And most teams have played around 13. Dodgers are playing their 14th tonight. But you at least get to try and figure some things out. That's why, you know, the football part of things, I don't think that's going to change that much. They're going to try. Whether it comes out successful or not, we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that's what I thought from the beginning. Baseball, they just hit a little bad luck with a couple teams. But at the same time, Alan, think about it. There's 29 teams in baseball. There were 3 teams that are really what kind of affected by it. Mm-hmm. And now you think about all the other teams. Right? We're talking about the Angels. We're talking about the Dodgers, the A's, Giants, you know, Astros. Think about all the other teams right now, Alan, that aren't being affected. So when you really look at the grand scheme of everything, it's really just been 3 teams that were affected. And I've heard so many different rumors about how they got infected, and it wasn't something that, you know, obviously that was, you know, something that was like within the team. It was somebody outside the team that kind of got into it, and it's a lot. So I think the NFL was watching, and the one thing I did learn is that all of these chief medical officers for each professional franchise, they're actually talking to each other and going over notes and sharing notes, because they all want to make sure their respective sports are doing, you know, the best thing possible. But I think with them sharing and understanding, I think they're all on the same page.
Kirk, are you a Hard Knocks guy? Have you watched Hard Knocks over the years?
Yeah, I've always been a Hard Knocks guy. I love Hard Knocks. It just gives you – I mean, for me as a player, I always loved it because I got a chance to see how other teams operate. You know, when you're in the NFL, you only know what your organization does. I got a chance to play for 3 different organizations, and they all were different. So Hard Knocks kind of, you know, peeled the curtain back a little bit, Alan, for me to – look at how other, you know, teams handle training camp and things like that. So I always thought it was fun and unique, and to see some of those stories that they, you know, play out. And, you know, last year, you know, I had a little Hard Knocks cameo, you know, with the Raiders being down.
Just look at Kirk getting in there. Get in there, Kirk. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I
right
had
there.
To, man. It was good, man. It was fun to be around. And like I said, I had seen it with the Rams when I came back in 2016 and then with the Raiders last year. So look at that. In the last, 4 or 5 years, I've been around Hard Knocks. It'll be my 3rd Hard Knocks in the last 5 years.
Well, and I just mentioned that, Kirk, because we got episode 1 coming up on Tuesday on HBO. So, okay, Kirk, this is what I want to do. And I appreciate you sticking around till 8 o'clock. When we come back, can we talk some NBA basketball? Because I don't know if you heard Kevin Durant's comments on who he thinks is going to win an NBA championship. I was calling out the Portland Trailblazers, and I was calling out Laker fans a little bit too, saying, let's stop trying to dodge the Blazers. If it's the Blazers in the first round, it's all good. So let's do that when we come back, all right? Alan Sliwa.
We got to get into that. We got to get into that.
By the way,
you was laughing at me about Portland. Now, but I can hear it in your voice. You're a little nervous, brother.
Every time, Kirk, every time like something happens with Portland or I hear another person speak positively about the Clippers that they're going to win it all, I'm like, oh, God dang it. I got to deal with Kirk on this one.
Oh, yeah. I got some comments. I'll save them after the break. Don't worry.
All right, we'll do that coming up next. Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison joined the show as well. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Mookie Betts just homered 1-1 Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants from Dodger Stadium. Bellinger up right now. I'll keep you guys posted on the game. Bottom of the third, two outs. All right, Kirk, let me play this for you real quick, okay? Let me just play a piece of sound for you that I don't think it was a shocker or a surprise, and it shouldn't be. But here's Kevin Durant, who was on Elite Media Group's Play for Keeps podcast, on who his pick is for the finals and who he thinks is going to win the NBA championship.
But if I could choose, I would go Clippers, Bucks.
Yeah,
as a championship, and I'll go with the Clippers.
You think their versatility of the Clippers is going to be too much for everybody?
Yeah, they're just so deep. Yeah. I think once they figure out. You know, because it felt like they ain't had all their team together at once yet.
Nah.
You know, for a long period of time, and like I just that talent is just undeniable to me. When you got PG and Kawhi, that just at the wings, is that's what you need to win is wings.
Oh, what does KD know? What's he ever accomplished, Kirk? What's he ever accomplished in the league?
Man, he's Kirk. Two-time NBA champion.
Nah, he's the man. He's the man. I definitely respect him.
MVP.
Definitely respect him. No, he's the man. But I'll say this. I feel like there is this momentum that's shifting right now. And going from the Lakers, at one point a lot of people were picking the Lakers to win a championship. I feel like that is becoming much – there's a lot less people picking the Lakers right now, a lot more people jumping on the Clippers bandwagon. Would you agree with that? Is that what you're noticing so far?
I think some people are doing that. I think a lot of people really had the Clippers going in, but I think when people looked at Vegas and were looking at, the Lakers because of AD and LeBron, and I really believe the Lakers are a great team, and I think that they still, could get to a conference final and win. Like, I'm not saying that they don't have the talent to win it. It's just that when you look at what the Clippers have going right now and in this environment, I think if there was a seven-game series at Staples, I would definitely have to say, I can probably see the Lakers and their experience, championship experience.
And home court.
Over. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, home court, all of that. But, for me, in this kind of bubble, in this situation, and I've always told you from the beginning, it's just a bunch of guys over with the Clippers that could just go out there and hoop, man. Just go out there and play basketball. They don't need plays ran for them. They bring a tremendous amount of energy each and every game. And so when they do come together and bring it together, I'm not saying they're sweeping nobody, but I'm saying if out of seven games, they to me can win four for sure. And so that's the tough part, Alan, is that, when you watch the Lakers last night, especially how different they look without LeBron, right? And so if LeBron is, right now, the way we see him is
Lakers playing. Look different in this whole restart. I mean, they look so disinterested, yeah. Kirk.
I mean they won games. They've mm-hmm. won games, Alan, but at the mm-hmm. same time, they barely won, but you're like, it's not as impressive.
It's not a dominant performance. It's not you're not walking away saying like, wow, I mean, this is amazing. And Kirk, I can make excuses, and there are excuses that are legit, but it's also not that comfortable to see the way they've played over these last few games.
Yeah, no, not at all. And I think, with Rajon Rondo out, we knew Avery Bradley being out was going to be something. So we knew the chemistry was going to be a lot different for the Lakers. So now that they have what their team is going to be, I mean, look, you've got a surprise in Deion Waiters right now, who's been playing I think, you know, fantastic for the Lakers. They didn't expect that. J.R. Smith has done well, you know, in the absence of Avery Bradley as well. So I think when you look overall, the Lakers are – they're not better than they were in March, but you could definitely see them that they're a different team. Whereas at the Clippers is more of the unknown because they haven't had Lou Williams yet, Montrezl Harrell coming back. You know what I'm saying? Like, when that full team is together, they can throw out many different lineups at you. Right now with the Lakers, we're still trying to figure out what is that best lineup for them at the end of games. Is it Caruso? Is it, you know, Kentavious
Kuzma? Is it Deion Waiters?
Right. Like, a lot of the answer, a lot of the questions that we thought we would have answered in the 8-game restart, I'm literally, we're 4 games into it, and I'm
Five.
Still stuck at the same questions that we had before.
Yeah, the three games left. Game tomorrow against the Indiana Pacers, by the way, on 710 ESPN. Okay, Kirk, so sometimes I jump to conclusion. I go all the way to the Western Conference Finals against the Clippers. What I should be doing is spending time talking about the first-round matchup, which you know, could very well be against the Portland Trailblazers. So I took some calls earlier before the right. show. I was kind of prepping myself for you. You know what I mean? Because I knew we were going to have this conversation. Right. So it was almost like I was working on my game. I was doing some sprints, I would say, before, because I knew you and I were going to have this chatter. So my view is right. changing here on the first round. And let me explain what I'm referring to there. After seeing the Lakers play 5 games in this restart, kind of been coasting. Some games it looks like they're not interested or they look disinterested, losing to, you know, the Rockets and losing to the Thunder. Okay, it's all good. LeBron and Caruso didn't play yesterday. Lakers have nothing to technically play for. I'm rooting now for the Lakers to get Portland in the first round, and I'll explain to you my reasoning behind it, and you could tell me if I'm crazy here. I know Portland's talented, mm-hmm. Kirk. I know they're playing – they got something to really play for. You know, every game that they're playing right now, their playoffs already started. So these games are so meaningful, and they're playing with this sense of urgency. I feel like if the Lakers get Memphis in the first round, which I don't think is going to happen. I don't think anybody thinks that's going to happen. But if they got Memphis in the first round, I don't feel that's going to prep the Lakers for what they need in the Western Conference. If you get Portland, there ain't no screwing around. You got to start playing your best basketball. You're going to kind of wake up this entire team right away, and obviously the Lakers would have to deliver. Am I crazy to think that, or do you see where I'm going with that?
I see where you're going with that, and I felt like I explained that a couple weeks to you. I think you kind of ignored it. You didn't want to.
No, we got rid of the tape. We don't have that show. That show didn't make it.
And like, I was like, dude, the Lakers don't want to see Portland. And I'm not saying it because they'll lose. I'm saying it because it does put a lot of stress on the body of LeBron James. I mean, honestly, like, that's the only thing that I was caring about. Will they be pushed? Yes. You know,
I don't think I'm worried about that.
Portland. See, I'm worried about
four and a half. Four and a half months they've been off.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's different, right? Because his body is used to resting at this time. Right. And people just think that you get up and just play basketball, and that's just how it is. Like, no, that time off and now trying to ramp it back up, it's a little bit difficult. And it's a situation where they're playing in the bubble, Alan. They're not playing in L.A. They're not playing there where LeBron is around his team, right, his workout and training buddies and all of that stuff. He doesn't have that same resources. He's using the same resources that every NBA player has. So he doesn't have that workout regimen, right? He doesn't have the TB12 like Tom Brady, you know, who has his Alex Guerrero and all of his people that are always around him to keep him up to speed. And that's my only thing is if LeBron gets pushed early, will he have enough late? Because it's one thing when he went through the East and, look, he was beating a lot of those teams, you know, five. If you look at what he did in the East over the last couple of years, I got you, buddy. But I said, when you think about what he did in the East for those couple of years, though, Alan, they were winning series. I believe they had lost one game that one time when they played against the Warriors.
Right.
That's
they would
this case. Mm-hmm. Right. You think about it. Like they're going to go up against some teams. They may lose two or three. Right. They may go up in the first two rounds that they play.
Right. Which happens.
It's the Houston mm-hmm. Rockets. Right. So mm-hmm. I'm just saying that there is.
But Kirk, if you can't. Well, I see what the angle you're taking with the fatigue. I was going to say, if you're going to have trouble with if Portland's going to take you 7 games or if you think you're going to lose to the Portland Trailblazers in the first round, I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the way. You know what I mean? And that's not me disrespecting Portland, because I know Portland should be top three, top four. If Portland was healthy all year, they'd be where Denver is and where Utah is and where OKC and Houston are. So, like, that's not a normal number eight seed. So I get that part. I understand that.
I mean, think about it. If Trevor Ariza would have opted in to play here, I really would look at the Lakers like, I have no idea. I would put it at 50-50 if Trevor Ariza's playing, because now Ariza's a guy who could.
Why, you've been watching Gary Trent Jr.? You see that dude hitting these threes?
Yeah, I'm just saying. But think if you would have added Trevor Ariza with Gary Trent and Dame Lillard, McCollum, and it takes one of those guys just to get hot, right? And we're talking about the Lakers are going to have to start shooting their way into games. It's one thing to be dominant with AD down there on the block and LeBron.
Bring Portland on.
But LeBron,
bring Portland on, Kurt.
I know.
Just bring him
in. Oh, no, no,
bring
no. I'm not saying the Lakers can't win. I think they're going to win. But, man, it's going to be some tense moments. And now the Lakers haven't been shooting the ball great, right? LeBron is poor from three-pointer. And if they get into a situation where they're getting into a three-point match, That's not good, Alan. That's not good. So I think that's what I'm saying. A series against Portland may expose them more than they probably would want to.
Kirk, what did the Lakers do to you, man? What happened? I mean, were you at the Lexus Club one day, or were you at one of these great places?
They were a good team. I really do. But
I know.
Had they when they came back, you know, in this little
it changes everything. Restart. This restarts.
I wanted to see more. Like, I knew what I was getting from LeBron. I knew what I was getting from AD. I saw a little something from Kuzma, a little bit in the scrimmages. But if you really think about it, what have they moved to us in these games? Right, like LeBron after that game against the Clippers was literally exhausted. Like, he put everything into it, and it came down really to him having to lock up Kawhi Leonard because he tried to get Paul George involved. Had he just drove Mason, possibly he could have won the thing. So it's a lot, and I'm excited because I give both teams. I think that both teams are going to push each other. I think they're both
going to be great basketball.
And I'm just thinking this is a seven game series, but if it's seven games, man, you're talking about just energy that the Clippers just may have more than the Lakers.
Kirk, go enjoy your weekend with the family, man. Thank you for doing this, brother. We're back at it next week, you and I, right? You and I next week, I think, on Wednesday.
Yep, back at it, brother.
All right, Kirk. Sounds good, man. Have a good weekend.
Okay, later.
All right, that's Kirk Morrison right there. Well, I mean, the beauty is this. All the conversations that we're having right now, it's the NBA is going to be dominating these next couple of months, and it should be some great basketball. I mean, that's the hope. And, obviously the Lakers in the thick of all that, and we might not have to wait for good basketball in the second round. We might be getting in the first round against the Portland Trailblazers. All right, we got halftime coming up next. Curtis, what do you got over there? You got something you want to tease?
We're going to reflect a little bit on these last few months. Leave it at that.
Okay. We'll do some reflection. Halftime coming up next. Stay right here. Sleeve Show, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, fellas, what's going on? Curtis, you're in the studio, right? Jess, you're at home, correct?
Back at home.
Okay, I'm back at home as well. Jess, good seeing you. I saw Jess for the first time in months this past week that we started doing some of the Laker games. Jess, I can't lie to you, man. That setup in the studio, my little pocket that I got, how great is
it's
that
a nice
studio?
It's a nice little setup we got working there. The magic of radio. As you like to call it. I mean, if you're listening, out in the streets when the Laker game's on and you tune into a Laker broadcast, I'll tell you, you'll never know that John and Mike are on the studio. And you'll never even realize that Alan is here too.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Jess, and what me personally, like what I enjoy about it is I just like being in the freaking office. Like, I like the routine of going to prep from there, get ready for the pregame show, You know, obviously doing post game, and you just get back into a studio. Don't get me wrong. This has been, you know, this has been great. You're at home. You're doing shows from here, but I'll take that option of being in studio all the time. So, all right, let's get started here with some halftime. Curtis, what do you got, bud?
Yeah, well, first update. I never got a follow-up from Twitter, but I figured out, remember my loss on my followers issue a couple weeks ago?
That's right. What happened?
They didn't respond to me, so then I took to the interwebs, and apparently I just deactivated and reactivated, and all my followers came back. So
you're good now.
I know everyone was worried, but
I think a lot of people were concerned. I had a lot of calls from the Lakers post-game show yesterday
telling
where people were wondering what was going on. So, okay, we got that back. What else you got, Curtis?
Yeah, so as we all know, the lineup will be changing again in about a week or so. But for me, this is this is our last show altogether. This is our last Sliwa show
you
together.
You and Jess doing Sliwa show together.
I have
together.
To help out in the mornings next week, so.
That's right, it'll just, be Steve Paylette next week.
Weird nostalgia feeling, you know? I always get kind of sentimental like that, but just figured, okay. You know, it's been a crazy 6 months.
Okay, let me be very real, and I was going to save part of this for next week because next week will, you know, technically, I think a week from today will be the last.
That's correct.
On the Sliwa show side of things. So, yeah, got to be honest, it's a weird feeling. We started doing the show, and the idea was be on, you know, once, twice a week, something along those lines. And listen, during the Lakers season, I'm already doing Lakers talk, and I'm already doing pre- and post-game show. So this kind of setup that we had was never meant to be, you know, 5 days a week, but been a crazy 6 months. And I would be lying to you guys if I didn't say that there's definitely some disappointment here that this show that you're slowly just kind of trying to figure out, you're trying to navigate as you go, you know, obviously stops. Now, there is many reasons of why that happens. I'm obviously going to be on still 3, 4, 5 days a week, depending on how many Laker games there are in Lakers talk. But of course, 100%, there's some disappointment of saying, damn, that sucks. You know, you were just kind of starting something. But I'll also say, too, I think timing is everything, and I got incredible amount of confidence that just let time kind of go by. We'll see how things go. But I think for all of us, we'll just keep rolling up our sleeves and grinding, and we'll go from there.
Hasn't the 6 month felt like 2 years though?
It has.
It's been pretty crazy.
Well, I feel like we started back in 2018.
No, think about it, Jess. Like there are times we're doing halftime, and you know I got the TV on, and there were riots going on, right? Or there was
protests.
I mean, not the riot. The looting going on. There were protests that were going on. Okay, go before that. We would be doing a show. And the whole show, it was pretty much like how we don't think we're going to get sports again until 2021. Like all the different kind of ups and downs of what we were all typically doing on a day-to-day basis before COVID-19, it's a freaking crazy time. And it's not getting – listen, the next couple of months are going to be crazy as well as, you know, you kind of throw politics into it, the election. You got obviously COVID-19. I don't know what the hell to expect tomorrow, so we might as well just appreciate today.
Still yeah, about 4 months of this.
Just to take it back, you know, our show was we had that show when everything broke, when essentially Rudy Gobert got confirmed tested positive.
How weird was that night?
We were on the air. Rain Shams tweeted that the NBA was – or that Rudy Gobert tested positive 30 seconds before we started our show. And then like 4 minutes after that, the NBA was canceled, and that started that snowball that we're still in. It's still rolling because we just, you know, we're in the middle of a lot of uncertainty.
That moment, by the way, that moment shut down the country. You know what I mean? Like that,
it did.
The Rudy Gobert testing positive and the way that all went down, all of a sudden the game was being delayed. I remember Royce Young, who works for ESPN, I think writes for the Thunder, was at that game, and I was following his tweets. I'm like, they kept saying something's going on in Oklahoma City. For some reason, they're not tipping off, and they're not telling anybody why. And that was, you know, that was kind of the first time where you started seeing like, wow, okay, this thing is serious. And then boom, the dominoes all fell. Businesses started shutting down, you know, telling employees stay at home. Everybody started, you know, I guess, you know, quarantining or whatever, not quarantining, but isolating themselves. and everything just kind of became a domino effect from there. So, yeah, every single day has been weird because it's not our norm. And from a sports perspective, we're starting to get a little bit of a norm back, but the world ain't normal. And until, you know, a vaccine is found, I think it's still going to take time.
And in the middle of all of this, you won a hot dog eating contest.
Got the hot dog eating contest.
Already forgot about that. It feels like it's been so long and it's only been like, what, a month?
Hot dog eating contest under our belt, and then everybody claiming I didn't have 9 hot dogs. What do you guys think I was doing? What do you think I was hanging out the whole time chewing on? What the hell do you think I was chewing? Chewing gum? Had to take down those 9 dogs.
You should have taken a picture of all the vomit and said, there's all the hot dogs. There's the 9.
Yeah, that was gross. That was not an ideal moment. But, you know, I'll say this, and I got a couple things I want to get into. And Jess, I want you to do your halftime as well. I appreciate both your guys' grind because this was a weird predicament, new for a lot of us. So, you know, getting a chance night in, night out to kind of figure it out. You know, it's not – you can put stuff down on paper and say this is what we're going to do, but the reality is there's a reason why guys like Mason and Ireland are such vets, 20-plus years doing it together, the experience that they have. We walked into a moment where we had literally no sports for 5 months or whatever the case is. So – but that's the best way to learn, and that's the best way to kind of figure things out as you go. And the beauty is now we do have Lakers basketball back. You got Dodger games that are on. They're up 3-1 against San Francisco. So I think from this point moving forward, it will be, you know, obviously great to be a part of a sports station where we have freaking sports to talk about. So
and they're thriving. And literally all the sports we're talking about championship caliber teams. I think that is like the most exciting part of all this, that, you know, last year the Lakers, they kind of just fell off after LeBron got injured. Dodgers, you know, this time
5-1
last year.
5-1 Dodgers, by the way. 5-1 Dodgers, by the way. Will Smith, the 2-run homer.
Will Smith, fresh out of Bel Air. You know, and now you got the Lakers in the middle of it. You got the Dodgers in the middle of it. They're two most popular teams in LA, and the chance
historic that franchises, you know, yes, as big of franchises as they get,
they have a chance to win. You know, both teams have a chance to win a championship for this city, and imagine what that would do, not just for LA because of, you know, what's happened just to LA, but in everything of 2020. You know, I think it'd be the biggest cherry on top of the cake of 2020, and it'd be fantastic for LA in general.
Jess, what do you got, bud?
All right. So a day or two ago, I come across a Sports Center post on Instagram.
Okay.
A musician named Sean Strait, Straatte. I guess he was on Instagram Live.
This is. Okay.
Kind of. Odds are you probably won't, because I don't even know who this guy was. I guess he was on Instagram Live kind of doing some challenges. He was on the piano. And someone challenged him to do the Chicago Bulls theme into Still Dre. And this is what it sounded like. All done on the piano.
And now, the starting lineup for your world champion, Chicago Bulls!
That's awesome.
Tell me you don't hear that. You can't hear that playing as like being the actual intro for the Bulls if they were today.
I could hear that as something in a club, too. Somebody just all of a sudden, like, what the hell is this? The hell's going on here? And then all of a sudden,
that would make
it goes
a great theme song entrance.
There's something to this only because a lot of songs that we don't realize share the same kind of
tempo samples.
And same things. And it's very interesting when you line some stuff up back to back how easily they flow into each other.
Well, yeah. I do remember when Chronic came out. That was 2000, right? Was it 2000?
Yes,
yeah,
Chronic
it was 2000.
Was 2000.
Right? When that came out,
or was it 01? Early 2000s.
Maybe it was 01. But I remember when that came out, and that song specifically, I mean, come on, it was as good as it gets. One of the best hip hop albums you could possibly have. and the Chicago Bulls entrance, just the Chicago Bulls in general, the way they that's one of the best intros that you have in all of sports. So to kind of combine those two together, very creative. I like that. Very creative. Okay, yeah. I got.
Oh, I actually have one more that he did.
Okay.
He did Still Dre into Thunderstruck by AC/DC. Everyone isn't gonna know what song that is. You have to add those vocals to it.
Unless you're a Chargers fan, right?
That's solid right there. No Charger fans here. No Charger fans allowed. By the way, I saw this Jim Hill. Try and get him on next week. Saw Jim Hill took a tour of SoFi Stadium with Dean Spanos, the owner of the Chargers. Definitely kind of ask some questions
Adam
about the stadium. Bronny. Yeah, I saw Bronny was there too. Okay, so this is a question I got for the both of you. Today is International Beer Day. International Beer Day. I don't know if you guys, well, I know Curtis, I think you said you prefer beer, right? I think that's your preference as far as drinks. What is your favorite beer, Curtis? I'll start with you. And does it change? I mean, if it's a hot day outside and you're outside 4th of July, there's a certain type of beer you want. Is there another occasion where it's a different type of beer? What's your go-to beer? And what do you, if there's a couple different kind that you drink?
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, you know, is there different ones? And it totally, for me, depends on what's happening. Because, you know, everyone's got that beer that you can drink, you know, six of if you want to, you know, just get trashed with the boys. But it's not always the same one that you want to enjoy, you know, with dinner or something, you know, to sip on something like that. But, I mean, for me, Modelo is definitely one where I can drink anytime, any place, and not stop. Okay. I'm a big fan of Modelo.
Okay, so for you, let me just kind of understand this. I'm not a huge beer drinker. So if you're kicking back, can you take down four or five beers, no problem? Like, yeah, I'm just hanging out, chilling, or no?
If I have no plans later, because I'm also don't drink too much anymore, so it's like I'm kind of a lightweight now,
beer
so it doesn't take a lot.
Beer, it's one of those where I admire those who can just sit back and be like, yeah, I had a six pack or yeah, I had eight beers. I'm like, what? How'd you have that much? You're not full. You know, some people, they do it. I'll drink some bourbon or some wine or something along those lines, but I'm not a big time beer drinker. So you can do it if you're not going anywhere, but not like the times before.
Yeah. Cause if I want to sit and enjoy something, I'll sip a scotch as we always talk about, you know, enjoy my scotch on ice. But yeah, it's Modelos or something I can just drink anytime, any place, hanging out or whatever. But I'm also a fan of Stella's. It's usually lighter beers. I'm not much
Ooh,
of a fan
Stella.
Of
with
those
you on the lighter
dark,
beer.
Thick beers kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm with you on a lighter beer. Jess, you drink, do you like those, what are those, lagers? What are they called?
IPAs,
lagers, yeah.
Or the IPAs.
I'll drink it. I mean, my favorite beer will go down as Guinness. I love me a pint of Guinness.
But that's as dark as it gets, right?
Day.
Like that's.
That's. I think you can get darker.
But that's considered a dark beer, correct?
Oh, definitely. Guinness are? Yeah. Definitely.
So you can drink a Guinness beer as in like, hey, this is so refreshing.
That depends on the kind of day if it's refreshing. But I can drink it. Like right now, you know what? I couldn't think of it. I think I do actually have a Guinness in the fridge. I can grab one right now and drink it and sip on it and be perfect. Like that's the beer you just kind of you sip on. You're not trying to get
keep drinking.
like Curtis say. If you're gonna do that, you got to go with like the Coronas or Dos Equis, something like that. But for me, I'm not a big beer drinker. So if I'm drinking beer, I'm definitely drinking, you know, if I'm drinking either Guinness or I'll look for some kind of craft beer. The last
well, that's,
beer I
that's
had
what
was
I was
like
going
something
to.
From Golden Road Brewery and it was delicious.
Don't trust that's a beer that you can't look through.
A beer that
that's
you can't.
That's my rule. If you can't
well, listen,
see through it.
there's something about, Curtis, there's something about all the breweries. And especially in LA, like There's a, what is it, Highland Park Brewery, just use as an example, right?
That's
there's,
right around the street from me.
Okay. There's
805 in my hood.
Okay, 805 in your hood. Absolutely. Very popular.
What's that one in San Fernando? Golden Road Brewery,
Golden
right?
Golden Road Brewery.
In Glendale?
Yep. That's a very popular place.
Yeah, I remember they had the big Jenga, the big Jenga game.
Smog City Brewing Company. There's just a, you know, there's a number of small local brews in Southern California. It ain't just LA. Go down to San Diego and there's, what is it, Arrogant Bastard. That's another one that's popular. There are so many good breweries up and down Southern California, which is kind of crazy because I don't think that was the scene. Maybe I'm wrong because I'm not a huge beer guy to begin with, but I don't think that was the scene 15, 20 years ago. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
I don't think it was.
A
lot of these breweries, started opening up. I remember down in San Diego, Carl Strauss Brewery. Not only it's a great brewery, but it's got fantastic food.
I think there's one in downtown Disney as well. Oh, no, that's Ballast Point.
Oh, yeah, Ballast Point.
That's another one.
So you got all these, breweries, and if you got your favorite beer, you could tweet at me at Alan Sliwa. I just put a tweet out there. Let us know what beer that you're taking down. We'll give you a shout out on the radio. So that's the international internet. Every day there's something, and that's one that Mason mentioned a little bit earlier today. I'm like, all right, I know you guys.
I'm gonna have a beer today after the show for that.
Taking down some beers in your days. What's your favorite beer there? So, all right, fellas, I appreciate it. Let's do this when we come back. So I mentioned this. I got Stu Lance coming up at 8:30. I will, by the way, I get so excited to talk to Stu. I've talked to Stu a few different times. When I was a kid, and I'd go down, Lakers would have a preseason game down in San Diego once a year, and it'd be chicken stew. Man, I can't tell you how excited I'd get to get a chance to see the voice of the Lakers. You know what I mean? I mean, Chick Hearn, obviously, absolute legend, but Stu Lance as well has been with the Lakers, been calling games with the Lakers since about the mid-80s, somewhere around there. But let's do this when we come back. The conversation about LeBron James. So LeBron didn't play against the Houston Rockets yesterday. Should there be any concern about LeBron? Are the Lakers fine? By the way, who are their third and fourth options? Matt Barnes was on First Take a little bit earlier today, as was Richard Jefferson. So we'll play a little bit of that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, Ray Dunning is going with some ice cold Becks. Look at Ray. At Cali, Big Cat, Blue Moon. Today is International Beer Day. So on Twitter, what's your favorite beer? At Alan Sliwa. Coach Joel, Sapporo. Oh, Sapporo's that's a great pick. Sapporo's a fantastic beer.
Very underrated.
Yeah, very, very underrated. Okay, so let's do this. We were having the conversation about Lakers basketball and talking about, okay, well, LeBron didn't play in the game against the Rockets. You think he'll play tomorrow against the Pacers? I hope he plays simply because you want it to be – doesn't have to play much, maybe play 20, 25 minutes. Michael always talks about on the pregame show, if the Lakers under their predicament, their situation, that you don't have to play these guys – you don't have to not play them, but play them 20, 25 minutes just to stay in some type of a rhythm. Matt Barnes was talking about the first round potential matchup between the Lakers and the Blazers. And I think everybody is starting to go with this mindset that the Clippers are going to be a legitimate threat. Now, I don't know what that definition means. I'll let Matt Barnes explain it. Here's Matt Barnes on First Take on the Blazers potentially facing the Lakers in the first round.
I definitely feel like the threat is real. Everything is about timing. It's not necessarily about the records of the past. The Lakers are the number one seed, but right now it's about who's the hottest team in the bubble going into the playoffs. Portland is one of them. Dame's playing great. I still think not having Trevor Ariza in these playoffs, if Portland is fortunate enough to make the playoffs, is going to hurt. But like everything everyone else mentioned, you know, they have no match for Dame. They have no match for CJ. Nurk is playing like a, you know, like he's been hurt and is excited to play now. Carmelo, Gary Trent, they're a very solid team. I don't know if they're deep enough, but they're definitely going to be a threat, but I would still have to pick the Lakers in the first round.
All right. So I guess that goes back to the point that I was making a little bit earlier in the show that I mentioned, I get it. I understand, you know, people should be jumping on that momentum with the Portland Trailblazers. They're playing good basketball. There's a sense of urgency. They're healthy. They got all stars. Dame Lillard's, you know, top 10 in the NBA. So there are some legitimate reasons to highlight the Portland Trailblazers and that being a tough matchup against the Lakers. But I want to go back to what I said earlier too, what I mentioned. Okay, is what it is. If Lakers got Portland in the first round, they're going to beat the Blazers in the first round. As good as Portland is playing, Anthony Davis over a 7-game set, LeBron James over a 7-game set, Lakers playing for actually something rather than just sitting in the position that they're in where right now none of these games really matter. I get what Matt Barnes is saying about timing, and I get what Matt Barnes is saying about you know, whatever you accomplish earlier in the number one seed and the regular season, all that, it doesn't mean anything to this point. He's right. There's no home court advantage left in the NBA, so that becomes irrelevant. You know, having the number one seed looks great on paper, but once the series starts, it means nothing, especially on a neutral court. So with all that in mind, what did Matt Barnes say at the end? I'm still picking the Lakers to beat the Trailblazers. And I guess essentially that's my point at the end of the day. I don't think the Lakers would lose in the first round. They're going to beat the Portland Trailblazers. But what the Lakers can use is they can use a matchup where they're going to have to take it seriously. They're going to have to play, you know, obviously at their best. It's going to prep them better than a Memphis Grizzlies team would against the Houston Rockets, Denver Nuggets, the Utah Jazz, the Los Angeles Clippers, whatever the Lakers have coming up after that. One more that I want to play from Matt Barnes. One of the things that I think has been interesting to watch with the Lakers in these in this restart so far, I'm keeping such a close eye, and I know everybody else is. Okay, how's KCP doing? What's Danny Green doing on a night-in, night-out basis? Can Deion Waiters be a player that you rely on? Is Alex Caruso going to be intimidated by the moment his first playoff run, which, by the way, I don't think he will be. Matt Barnes got into the Lakers and trying to still figure out who's going to be their third and fourth option.
And I also just think that the Lakers really need to find – we know what we're going to get from Bron. Like Rich touched on early in the show, we know what we're going to get from all of our stars come these playoffs. They're all going to be their amazing selves, but they get paid a lot of money for why the teams are in position they are because of the stars. But I think what the Lakers' issues are, they really need to find that third and fourth option. I love the way Kyle Kuzma's been playing. I think I speak for everyone when we thought he was going to be that consistent third option. In the bubble, he's been that consistent third option. You also get Caruso going. You need to get Danny Green as hot as he can be because, like I said, although Avery Bradley wasn't a star, he was a key piece of that team, someone who was always going to take the best offensive player and someone who's been in big games who can knock big shots down. So I think more than anything, it's just trying to find out what else they have going on out there because they had some good chemistry and good rhythm during the regular season, but it hasn't been the same in the bubble. So like I said, you know what you're going to get from Bron. You know what you're going to get from AD. What are you going to get from the supporting cast?
You know who's actually been a that was Matt Barnes on First Take a little bit earlier this morning. You know who's actually been a little bit of a surprise. I don't know if surprise is the right word, but no, he's been a surprise. Kuzma's had a nice restart, kind of playing with a little bit. It's a good actually question. I'll ask Stu Lance when Stu Lance coming up in a few minutes here. He's been a little bit of a surprise in the sense that he's scoring, you know, getting the Lakers, it could be 10 to 20 points, somewhere around there, but he's doing it efficiently, number one. And number two, it looks like he's playing defense with some pride, like he wants to play defense. He wants defense to be a key part of what he's doing on a night-in, night-out basis. It's not perfect. By no means am I saying that the way he's playing and, you know, that this is exactly how it's not going to be textbook. He's not Kawhi Leonard or Paul George, but there's effort there on the defensive side. He looks excited when he's playing defense. Kuzma's been actually one of the rare highlights for the Lakers inside the NBA bubble. Everybody else really hasn't been that much consistency. KCP hasn't been consistent. J.R. Smith hasn't looked good. Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, honestly, the two centers for the Lakers. It's going to be interesting to see how the Lakers use them. I know a lot of it's going to come down to matchups, but they definitely haven't looked all that good as well. So there is this curiosity from all these players that you have on this Lakers team that they're going to have to figure it out, and they're going to still have some time. You got three games left, then you'll get into the postseason. And if it is the Portland Trailblazers, then let it be. Lakers will have to play some of their best basketball to, you know, obviously continue to have a chance at winning an NBA championship this year. Okay, coming up next, Stu Lance. It's my favorite Stu Lance story. First of all, there's nothing better. Sometimes Lakers on Twitter will throw out just some old classic highlights. And there's something about a classic highlight. Maybe it's Kobe. Maybe it's Magic. Maybe it's Shaq or Powell or whatever the case is. Or not necessarily Powell. I'll stay with the Shaq, Kobe, or a Magic moment. And you hear this highlight or you watch the highlight and you're like, wow, how beautiful was that? Look at Kobe Bryant when he was young. And then it goes to another level when it's chicken stew. And that's one of my favorite things. Every time the Lakers put out a highlight, it has Chick Hearn and Stu Lance on the call. I'm so quick to retweet those. It takes you back to your childhood. It takes you back to the moments where you used to watch Lakers basketball as a kid. Nick Van Exel and Sadale 3 and some of these other players. The great Stu Lance. And I say the great Stu Lance. He's been a color commentator on the Los Angeles Lakers TV broadcast for years. Does it now on Spectrum Sportsnet. He's coming up next to join the Sliwa Show. Appreciate you guys all tuning in. Stay here for Stu Lance, 710 ESPN. Okay, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Got to welcome in one of my favorite broadcasters. Since I was a kid, been listening to the great Stu Lance, color commentator on the Los Angeles Lakers TV broadcast with Spectrum Sportsnet. Stu, thank you for doing this. Greatly appreciate your time.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
All right, so Stu, it's as you know, especially Lakers basketball, you win a couple games in a row. Everybody thinks you're the best team in the NBA. You lose a couple, and all of a sudden you have some fans that are panicking and so forth. I just want to get your thoughts. We're five games into this restart. Obviously, the Lakers locked up the number one seed. Can you just give me your overall thoughts on this team right now with three games left to go? And then obviously after that, it's going to be the start of the postseason in Orlando.
Well, I mean, I'm not panicking like a lot of the fans are for sure, but I am concerned a little bit about their offense right now. I mean, they're trying to piece together more players into the offense, having the addition of Waiters and J.R. Smith. And their offense is kind of struggling a bit right now. Their defense has been pretty consistent, and that's the good thing, because their offense is definitely going to come around, but when is it going to come around with any kind of continuity to it? Trying to replace Avery Bradley at the point guard position defensively is a big task. They don't have anybody on the team that can play on the ball defense like Avery. And before the break, Avery was playing great offense as well. So he's really going to be missed. And then, of course, Rondo, hopefully they'll get him back sooner than they expect, hopefully, so he can run that second unit. But I think they're going to be okay. It's just going to take them a bit.
Stu, I think, you know, you're mentioning from an offensive perspective, I think Lakers, the only team in this Orlando bubble out of 22 teams averaging less than 100 points per game. So the struggles have been real. We've kind of got a chance to watch it. What do you think of just the shots that they're taking? I mean, Lakers obviously struggling from the three-point line. I always feel like there's this balance of trying to figure out today's NBA. Yes, a lot of teams take a lot of threes, but do you like the Lakers' look? Should they be focusing on, you know what, let's take a couple dribbles in. Let's try to get to the free throw line. Should strategy change a little bit when you're struggling like that from the field?
Well, I mean, they're getting some nice looks. Don't get me wrong. They're getting some really, really nice looks when you consider the spacing on the floor with LeBron. So they've just got to start knocking down shots. They don't have players really overall that create their own shot. They are really spot-up guys that are supposed to be shooting the ball, but they're just not putting the ball in the basket right now. So if they needed one thing going in, I would say they needed a pure shooter. But obviously that's not going to happen now that you can't pick up a pure shooter at this stage of the season. So they're going to have to, you know, go with what they have and hope they can all get back to where they were playing prior to the stoppage.
The great Stu Lance joining the Sliwa Show here. We're talking a little bit about the Lakers here with three games left to go, and then obviously the playoffs coming right after that. Stu, we got an opportunity to see Anthony Davis against the Utah Jazz. He was coming off a game against Toronto where he only took seven shots, and then he comes out and takes 28 shots, 42 points. How much do you think of what we're seeing from Anthony Davis right now is a team that locked up the number one seed, really doesn't have something to play for at this point, where a lot of other teams are jockeying for position or just trying to get in? Do you see Anthony Davis? Is it is is it fair to say this is the type of player that once we do get in the season, get to the postseason, he'll flip that switch on, and what we saw against the Jazz, we'll probably see a lot more consistently?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think you're going to see the real Anthony Davis again once the playoffs start. There's no question. I have no concerns about AD at all. I mean, this is a very, very talented player that is very difficult to defend. So once the playoffs start, if the players surrounding him and LeBron get back to playing the way they were, the Lakers will be in good shape.
Stu, were you getting a chance on a night-in, night-out basis to watch? And, you know, we went 4.5 months without watching any basketball. Now they're starting at 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. Have you got the opportunity to see some of these teams fighting for the eighth spot? And if you have, and I'm referring to the Portlands of the world, San Antonio, Memphis, Phoenix have won 4 games in a row. Is it for you, is it, does it come down to, it doesn't matter who the Lakers play, whatever the matchup is, they'll have to, you know, obviously come out and try and play some of their best basketball this year. And with that, do you also look at the Portland Trailblazers as a legitimate threat just simply because they're finally healthy and they got, you know, obviously some great talent on their roster?
Yeah, there's no question the Trailblazers are a legitimate threat. No question at all. I mean, I don't think any team is clamoring to play them in the first round, the second round, whatever the case may be, because they've got that dynamic backcourt of Lillard and McCullough. And then they get Nurkic back, and wow, they are really starting to play some great basketball. So this is the time of year, when I say time of year, when you're going into the playoffs, this is when you want to be playing your best basketball. Sure. And it seems like the Trailblazers are doing just that.
Yeah, Stu, isn't that interesting? You have a team that a team like the Portland Trailblazers who have this kind of second hope here to try and get in, and they still got some work to do. But if they do get in, that doesn't seem like a number eight seed. You know, it just the talent that they have, clicking on all cylinders, every game that they're playing, there's a purpose behind it. There's a hunger in that team. Where the Lakers, you know, the strategy is different, and that's part of the strengths to getting the number one seed, and sometimes part of the weakness, because you come towards this late in the year and some of these games aren't as meaningful. But Portland, not exactly, that's not your typical eight seed.
No, they are definitely not a typical eighth seed. And again, when you talk about the seeding, with the way the situation has evolved with the COVID situation and everybody playing in the bubble, there's no home court advantage. So before, you wanted that, everyone fought for that home court advantage. You wanted to be number one, two, three, or four, so that in the first round you had the playoffs in your building. Well, it's a neutral court now, so you can throw all of that out of the window. You just got to go out and hope to be playing your best basketball. You don't really have your live fans to really spur you on. You can't put an importance on how much importance it is to have your fans giving you that adrenaline push when you're in your building. It's so vital. So we'll find out really how the teams are made without that happening.
The great Stu Lance joining the Sliwa Show. Lakers got another game coming up tomorrow. You can listen to that game here on 710 or watch it on Spectrum Sportsnet. Stu and Billy Mack, Bill McDonald. Stu, am I crazy on this one? A little bit earlier in the show, I was trying to make a case. I don't know how much I believe myself in this one, but I kind of do, that the Lakers have, they've struggled. It's not like these past five games, and yes, LeBron and Caruso didn't play in the last one, and certainly Lakers don't have to play with the same urgency as some of these other teams. Can it be a benefit playing a team like Portland in the first round to help try to get the Lakers some of the best competition, so you're also prepping for the second round, potentially the Western Conference Finals and the finals? Can you see any benefits in that, or would you prefer, no, if they get the chance to play Memphis or New Orleans, one of these other teams that have a little bit less experience, you would take that instead?
Well, again, I mentioned that Portland is a dangerous team to be playing in the playoffs, regardless of what round you play them in. But at the same time, the playoffs are the playoffs. I mean, teams get ready for that. They get to hone in on one team. They know about their tendencies. They have the game plan all in order. If the Lakers are playing the way they can play, it doesn't matter to them who they play in the first round. But they've got to get back to playing that kind of basketball. And we're going to find out just how quickly they can do that, having there's 22 teams in the bubble right now, and offensively, if you look at all the offensive categories, Lakers are at the bottom of just about every one of those. So they've got to turn it around and turned around in a hurry.
Yeah, Stu, we won't have to wait too long. We know that postseason will be starting in less than about a week and a half or so is when the postseason will be starting. Stu, just to look at some of the bench players for the Lakers, what have you thought of Kyle Kuzma so far in these five games? I know that's an incredibly small sample size, but I felt like there's a consistency on his end of playing defense. At least the effort is there. He looks excited to play defense. Have you noticed anything different with Kuz over these last five games, something that you know he can obviously take into the postseason?
Well, I think his health is something that's quite obvious. He seems to be really feeling good about his body right now. You know, he had a lot of nagging little things. He missed a lot of training camp and preseason with the problem with the foot and stuff. So I think that's kind of behind him now. And he's the one guy on the Lakers that since they've been in the bubble, he's been shooting the ball pretty well. I mean, he's been playing really well. So I'm not too concerned at all about Kuz. I think once the big lights come on, some more of his good game will surface.
Two more, Stu, and we'll let you go. And again, we always appreciate the time. Your thoughts on Dion Waiters so far? How can he be a valuable asset to the Lakers come postseason, or maybe when LeBron and Anthony Davis are on the bench getting some rest? What can Dion do? And I'm talking primarily offensively. That could be a big benefit.
Well, a couple of years ago, when they got LeBron, I said they needed two things. I thought they were missing two ingredients. One, another player in the backcourt that could create their own shot off the dribble. And Dion Waiters can definitely do that. He'll be an asset coming in and being able to generate some offense off the dribble when they need it, and especially when LeBron isn't setting the table for everybody else. And the second thing I thought they needed, which they still do need, is that pure shooter. But they've got Kuz, and they've got some others that can step in and you know, make big shots. So hopefully they'll be able to get over that hurdle once the playoffs start.
Stu, final one for you. What's it been like calling these games without fans, not being in an actual arena? What kind of experience has that been for you?
Well, it's different. There's no question about it. I mean, you just can't put enough importance on the fans. I mean, the fans are the name of the game. They make it happen. But once the ball is tossed up and the players are up running up and down the court, it seems to be the same old thing. It's the same old game. Sure, you truly miss the fans, but you just got to hone in and just do your job, and hopefully the best thing comes out of it, and that the best thing for us is wins for the Lakers.
The great Stu Lance taking some time to join the Sliwa Show. Stu, I can't thank you enough. I greatly appreciate it, and obviously we enjoy listening to you on the broadcast.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, that's Stu Lance right there. Every time I listen to Stu, and of course Billy Mack is great, Bill McDonald, but definitely Stu, it just takes you back to you know your younger days. So very nice of him to you know take some time to get that all coordinated. We come back a full slate of games tomorrow in the NBA, and a very very important game starting at 10 a.m. It's the Clippers and the Portland Trailblazers. So I want to talk a little bit about that. Doc Rivers talked about the Clippers, where he would gauge the Clippers right now on a scale from 1 to 10. And there's certainly this growing trend of a lot of the national media starting to pick the Clippers. So I want to talk a little bit about that when we come back. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, we appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock here. You know, it's been great too. By the way, podcast is doing great. So I appreciate everybody. I know it's not everybody could tune in on the radio, or you're driving around and, you know, you're listening on the ESPN app, whatever the case is. So thank you for that. We'll continue all the content that I'm going to be putting out, Lakers post game show, Lakers talk. It will stay on that Lakers talk channel. So just FYI, you'll continue to be able to grab all the podcasts from there. So tomorrow morning, I'm looking at the schedule right now. And I think John may have mentioned this in crosstalk, and I hadn't even looked at the schedule. So I'm looking at the schedule right now. NBA games start tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific, so out here on the West Coast. 10 a.m. tomorrow, that's when it starts. All right, you say, all right, Al, who's playing? Orlando and Brooklyn? Who cares? How about the Clippers and the Portland Trailblazers are starting on TNT tomorrow at 10 a.m.? How am I going to go back to regular basketball where all the games are slated at 4:30 to 7:30. How am I going to go back to that? We're getting spoiled right now with this basketball and, you know, certainly just the quality of play. But this is a big game. Clippers in Portland. if you're one of those out there that you don't want the Lakers to face the Portland Trailblazers, then tomorrow you're going to be rooting for the Los Angeles Clippers. You're going to be rooting for the Clippers to, you know, beat Portland and try and see if the Spurs jump up or Memphis jumps up or whatever the case is. But nonetheless, that's going to be a fantastic game tomorrow. And, you know, if the question mark is, well, what is Portland? Are they real deal? You're going to find out tomorrow against the Clippers. That's if the Clippers, you know, if they take this game and they play it the way they played that Dallas game where it means something to them. Utah will play Denver tomorrow. Lakers, Indiana, I mentioned that's a 3 o'clock tip-off. So Michael and I will do our pregame show at 1:30. And then one of the more interesting teams in this bubble, Phoenix, who's 4-0, they play Miami at 4:30. So good games tomorrow. Milwaukee and Dallas, the last game. Three of those games on TNT. ESPN will have the last game with Milwaukee and Dallas. So Doc Rivers was asked this question during one of their post-game shows or post-game pressers, where the Clippers are on a scale of 1 to 10. He said, it's a good question. I don't know, 6 or 7. Still have Trez out, Montrezl Harrell. We still have several guys that have minute restrictions that put a major problem on us tonight, especially with guards. We still have Pat out, so Patrick Beverley. This Clippers team, look, anybody that goes out of their way and says Clippers are the favorites to win an NBA championship, and I didn't play some of these. This was we got a bunch of audio here that I could have played, but I didn't play. I'll just tell you exactly. Kevin Durant already thinks that the Clippers are going to win the NBA Finals. Matt Barnes on First Take said that he picks the Clippers to win an NBA championship. Richard Jefferson on First Take, Clippers are built to beat the Lakers and the Bucks. So there is a growing trend. And that list is getting, much larger of teams out there, experts out there, reporters out there, former players out there, picking the Los Angeles Clippers to win it all. And it's not a stretch. I mean, you guys know how big of a Laker fan that I am, but I wouldn't be honest with you if I didn't say that, of course, the Clippers got a legitimate chance to win an NBA championship this year, which would be their first championship in franchise history. Of course they do. But I think there's a lot of people starting to go away from the Lakers, and I don't know if the Lakers are being assessed properly. Clippers are stacked. Lakers will have to prove in the postseason that they could get back, you know, obviously on track and get back on form. But you can't gauge the Lakers on this restart. Or at least you shouldn't gauge the Lakers just on this restart. This is a very unique position and predicament. So if you're watching these Laker games and all of a sudden everybody's jumping off the Lakers bandwagon and you're jumping on the Clippers bandwagon, which, by the way, lost to the Lakers. They also lost to the Phoenix Suns. I know they're missing some key guys, but let me point that out as well. You can't judge the Lakers on a restart. You can't judge the Lakers on these 8 games where they already locked up the Western Conference. So I would kind of, you know, not even to try and come to the defense to the Lakers, because really whatever I say, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. When the playoffs start, Lakers will prove either that they're the best team in the NBA or they're not. It's that simple. You know, in sports, we could all have our opportunities to run our mouth and give our opinion, and Lakers should do this and that team should do that. We all get that opportunity to do it. But at the end of the day, what does it come down to? It literally just comes down to, did you prove it? Did you make it happen in the postseason or did you not? And that's what I'm kind of referring to when I talk about this restart. This restart shouldn't be the only way the Lakers are gauged getting closer to the postseason. It just can't be. It's been ugly. It hasn't been great basketball, but none of these teams should be gauged on the restart. Once the postseason starts, I think we're then going to have the proper idea and the proper metrics to see, obviously if the Lakers, if that opportunity is legit or it's not. I do want to play because Richard Jefferson on First Take. Let's hear from Richard Jefferson real quick on thinking that not only are the Clippers built to beat the Lakers, but they're also built to beat the Milwaukee Bucks.
When we're talking about LeBron James trying to run pick and roll, trying to play that basketball IQ that we know he plays so well, who's he switch on? Patrick Beverley? That's not a cakewalk, even though he has the advantage. Paul George? Then you have Morris? Then you got Kawhi Leonard? You look around, they are built specifically to beat the Lakers, and also why the Clippers would dominate the Milwaukee Bucks if the Bucks were to get there, because they have multiple players that could guard Giannis. So the Clippers are by far the most deep team and the best team when you look at coaching, star players, all the way down to their supporting cast.
So that's the current trend right now in the NBA. Everyone jumping on the Clippers bandwagon, and I feel like a lot of these reporters and experts jumping off the Lakers bandwagon. That could be a good thing, by the way. I mean, just from the Lakers' perspective, kind of have a little extra chip on your shoulder. Maybe a little bit. I don't want to say they're out of the spotlight for a second because they're talking about other teams. Lakers will always, always be in the spotlight. I got a quick update here on the Dodger game as we get closer to wrapping things up here. Dodgers are up 6-2. Mookie Betts just walked, I think, two outs in the bottom of the sixth. So Dodgers looking to get their 10th victory on the season, only four losses. Okay, so this is what we got coming up here for the next couple of days. Dr. Clapper coming up tomorrow morning starting at 7 a.m., so he'll go 7 to 9. I will do the Lakers pregame show tomorrow with Michael. So if you're going to be out driving around tomorrow, you'll get a chance to listen to the broadcast. Ireland and Michael will be at 3 o'clock. Pregame show is going to start at 1:30. Of course, Spectrum is going to carry the game. And then back on Monday, when we get to Monday, Lakers got another game. This one's going to be the Denver Nuggets, and they'll only have two games left before we get to the postseason. So as always, LA, greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. Download the show on the podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Thank you to Jesse. Thank you to Curtis. LA, have a great weekend.